You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. We are back and doing it, and it is a giant Monday in terms of news. I can't remember the last off-season Monday in which Wolverines Wire put out 10 articles. That's where we're at. It's a big, big day. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Was hoping to get out an episode a little bit more quickly due to the Blake Corum news, which we'll obviously start off with here, but didn't quite. The internet here, when it comes to like everything, precluded that, really, just because it just doesn't really work very well. But anyway, we're back and doing it. And huge news for Michigan, getting what essentially is akin to getting another commitment by having your Heisman Trophy. Wasn't actually a finalist in terms of being one of the guys that went to New York, but Heisman Trophy contenders deciding he's coming back for another year, right? Like, he is, that's a five-star. That's Michigan adding a five-star that's ready to go and proven, tested, all of that kind of stuff, because as Blake Corum said, unfinished business. And what was interesting was to listen to him on the John Jansen's In the Trenches podcast, where he said there were a lot of days where he really thought he was going to the draft. And after his injury, after the Ohio State of it all, it's like, all right, let's just get the surgery and start prepping for the NFL draft. And turns out that's not what he's going to do. He credited Valiant, the one more year fund, as being one of the reasons why. One of a couple of reasons why, but really the big thing is it's like he said, I'm a Michigan man. I don't want my career to have ended at Michigan that way, leaving the big house in the Illinois game with an injury, that being my last experience there. I want to be able to help the team get back to the college football playoff, beat Ohio State again, and win the whole thing. And I venture to say that with the roster that it looks like Michigan might have, especially with some of those guys that might be wooed back a little bit more by both the one more year fund as well as Blake Corum returning, that is certainly within the realm of possibility. I said this on my instant reaction show, which wasn't so instant, that said, thanks to said internet, it was recorded instantly, but didn't make it up until about 20 minutes ago. Which is, I know you guys have no time frame. It took about 2 hours, but more so than that. Actually, it's 6:30. I think it only went up about 20 minutes ago, so it's been more like 4 hours. I think that just with the way this roster is constructed now, it's kind of the opposite of Michigan basketball, right? It's just, it's again, a wealth of riches. And it's pretty incredible that you return Donovan Edwards, who looked pretty incredible at the tail end of the season, even with one hand. I'd imagine he'll be that much more of a formidable force in the receiving game once he is fully healthy. You've got Blake Corum back. You've got J.J. McCarthy back. You've got Colston Loveland back. You've got, it sounds like Roland Wilson's going to be back. Wouldn't be surprised if Cornelius Johnson's back. You've got a complement of offensive linemen, whether Keegan and Zinter stay or not. You've still got a bunch of guys, Trente Jones, Carson Barnhart, Giovanni Elhadi, guys that you know you can rely on, up-and-comers that you feel really good about, like Raheem Anderson, Jeff Percy. And then you've got all these transfers, Ladarius Henderson and Drake Nugent and Miles Hinton. Add in A.J. Barner at tight end. There are some unknowns, but this really does feel like a Michigan reloading situation. The one worry I have from my own PTSD is the last time Michigan felt this loaded and this primed to come back and be that team that could win a national championship, all you know what broke loose. developed when I was a student going from 2006 to 2007. But I don't, this is not the type of team that's going to take their eye off the prize the way that that one did. No offense to some of my friends who are from that team. Actually, I think most of them were gone by then, so never mind. All offense included. I think everyone was gone by 2000. No, I think I got one or two guys that were on that team. But nonetheless, this really does feel different. And Blake Corum really takes it over the top, because I was going to feel pretty good about this team's chances this upcoming year. And I feel even better now, because now you know you've got a guy back that can eke out those extra yards. I hate to always be like injuries, but Blake Corum and a healthy Blake Corum against TCU, that game goes so much differently, because as much as they could sit there and stuff things, he would have still gotten those extra yards just because that's the type of player he is, I think. Of course, some teams had a little bit more success, but TCU did a great job. But the great news about Blake Corum making this decision today, going on to Rich Eisen and saying, I am coming back, is it gives Michigan fans a good feeling on a day in which we all expected there were going to be good feelings. And it got snatched away a week and a half ago in Phoenix, Glendale, to be specific. So you got the really good news there. I think it is a game changer, and it speaks to the type of guy he is, right? It's like Jordan Lewis and Jake Butt. Like those, you know, Jake Long. Those true Michigan guys that certainly could have gone early and chose not to because they want to finish what they started. And it's hard to bet against a guy like that. So I am excited to see what that means for his future. Especially because I think J.J. McCarthy really is just getting his feet wet at quarterback. And I think that things are going to really take off on the offensive side because they really started to. And I think the two pick sixes aside and playing from behind aside, I think we saw kind of how dynamic that offense could be in the TCU game. And I think it can be a lot better once there's some refinery in some of the parts of the passing game. But I think that there's a lot that you can be said about what this offense presents. And a year, you know, usually year three of guys is when you expect them to take off. Look at Blake Corum. That's when he went from being really, really good to, whoa, this guy might be the best player in the country. You add a couple guys like Edwards and J.J. McCarthy to that mix, it could be scary good. Let's continue talking about the ramifications of Blake Corum's return here in just a moment. But before we do that, listen, as a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with, like I've just been talking about, literally. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people that have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. Again, very similar to Blake Corum coming back to Michigan. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post company and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all in one platform. If you want to achieve your 2023 goals, just like Michigan wants to, you need to go and get your Blake Corum. You need to bring him in. And LinkedIn Jobs can help you do exactly that. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free. LinkedIn.com/lockedoncollege. That's LinkedIn.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions do apply. So I think one of the things that people are really concerned about is how does Donovan Edwards take this? But as far as I know, Donovan Edwards has been the one clamoring for him. It's funny how people went from Donovan Edwards, the guy that's trying to beg Braylon Allen, trying to pry him away from Wisconsin and bring him to Michigan. And now he would have a problem with Blake Corum coming back to Michigan. I don't really understand the logic there. But I think it's the typical fear-based thing, and it makes sense because Michigan tends to not have embarrassments of riches, except for at maybe offensive and defensive lines. They tend to have not had them at the skill position players, and when they have it, that's not for very long because someone wants to look for the greener grass, so to speak. And I think that the great thing is with Corum, you've definitely got a bona fide forthcoming team captain. I can't see any way he is not that. He had said to Jansen that he's trying to learn to become a better leader. I think he's already a guy that everyone looks up to as it is. It's definitely going to be his time to shine as far as that's concerned. So I think that you add him to that. He's going to certainly be that emotional guy, that Ronnie Bell type that really the team galvanizes around. I don't think Michigan's necessarily going to run him 30 times a game because, I think Donovan Edwards is ready to shoulder some of that load. Number two, I think that they probably will be slightly fearful, knowing like that could happen on any play, but they're going to need him at the tail end of the season. Of course, the big X factor here is the Jim Harbaugh of it all, which I fully expect Jim Harbaugh to be back. And I, like I said on Sunday's podcast, my boss seems very convinced, and he's not plugged in at all to any of this, but he is very convinced he's going to Denver. I'm very convinced that Jim Harbaugh sometime in the next couple of days is going to announce for Michigan. Not that anyone has told me that. It's just reading the tea leaves that are out there, I think you can come to a conclusion that that's probably what's going to happen. And for once, I don't think there's going to be a mass exodus. I don't think you're going to be changing both coordinators. Despite the random person on my YouTube that thinks that after the TCU game that Jesse Minter needs to go bye-bye, which is absolutely insane. That's on my personal YouTube. Seeing that, I'm like, what? I didn't even respond because I'm like, what? Okay, I understand. You want more, you get emotional, and it's like, but this isn't Don Brown, Ohio State, right? Yeah, TCU had a lot of points. Did really well. The defense did not seem prepared. I thought he did a poor job in that game. Guess what? The barometer is not TCU in the college football playoff semifinal. It's Ohio State. You beat Ohio State every year, you take it, and especially if you hold them to 23 points. Nonetheless, I just see this entire coaching staff likely coming back. I don't know who would go. I don't think that anyone's going to be let go. The only way that I think anyone leaves is if, say, one of the guys like Sharon Moore or Mike Hart is offered like a head coaching job somewhere. But I do believe they'll run it back. There is a report that I saw somewhere, I don't remember, that Sharon Moore was approached by a mid-level team, and he said pound sand. I mean, obviously not. He didn't say that actual thing. That'd be epic if he did. But he said he wants to remain at Michigan. So I think that there is a lot to like, especially given. And I said this on the other little thing that I recorded, that when you look at a lot of the teams across college football, none of the major teams return their quarterback. The only one that does is USC. You're just in a great position with the talent that you have returning. Michigan certainly loses talent, and we'll get into that momentarily because they've lost a couple guys today so far. But they're all very expected. The guys that we didn't anticipate would be back the next year. And you feel like, okay, things are still moving in a positive, good direction. And as long as you retain the people you're supposed to retain, and as long as the staff has learned the lessons that they needed to learn from that TCU game, I think you're in just an absolute epically great spot to have that repeat. And I know I'm already seeing things from people saying, oh, well, you know, They've beaten Ohio State twice, but three times? Come on, as if that's absolutely impossible. Certainly, I mean, Jim Tressel, I believe, got what? I don't remember the timeline exactly. He won, then he lost, and then he won indefinitely, or did he win twice and then he lost? I just think that Michigan hosting Ohio State, breaking in, and I mean, it'll be pretty broken in, but a new quarterback, all of that stuff. I know Mayan Williams is coming back to Ohio State. They're going to lose some pieces to the draft as well. Jim Knowles will be in his second year. At least their defense should have an idea of what to do better, but I mean, it won't matter if they are essentially running the same scheme against Michigan. I just feel like it's Michigan's prime to repeat, and if it doesn't, it still should make it to the college football playoff. Not that I like that. I just think that's just a really good situation, and this Blake Corum re-addition just makes it all the better. It really does. I'm trying to remember, there was a really good point about it that my best friend brought up on the phone today that I was going to steal, and I can't remember. He's the one who said it. I don't know. Michigan's just in a really good spot. Let's talk about some of the guys that went away, because Michigan did lose three players today officially. That there's still 6 days before they have to make their announcements if they're going to go to the draft or not. I mean, they don't have to announce it. They just have to either enter the draft or not. But and certainly there's a couple guys we're waiting to see on. But we will get to that momentarily. Before we do that, BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds, trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to the college football national championship game, which is tonight. It's a basketball and World Cup. We've got it all at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, guess what? You can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, there's a litany of little things that I want to touch on. Before we get to the guys that left and my thoughts on that and all of that, big congratulations to Josh Metellus, who was just named a team captain for the Minnesota Vikings. For you stargazers out there, explain that. I know, if you have a team loaded with five-star talent, it's likely to be better, but not always. I couldn't tell you what TCU is, and they're playing in the national championship game. I would venture to guess Michigan has out-recruited TCU by a pretty significant margin, and yet there they are. But, I mean, he was a two-star at the time that he committed. He was a three-star by the time he ended up on campus. Thrown into the mix in the Capital One Orange Bowl after Jabril Peppers opted out. At least that's what I was told. He opted out. That's not one of those things that's out there. I mean, it's out there, but it wasn't one of those things that was like Michigan says. You know what I mean? Became a starter the next year. Drew the fans' ire. The thing that fans still remember about Josh Metellus is dropping the interception against Ohio State. Well, that would have been nice if he got it, because it would have kept them from getting 7 points. It was not the game changer, full game changer. Gave them momentum, but that wasn't the end of the game. That was still pretty much the beginning. I don't know that he deserves all of the fault there. Would have been nice. Had a nice career at Michigan. Got drafted 6th round by the Vikings. Out of training camp, ends up on the practice squad. Gets elevated 2 weeks into the season. Plays special teams as a main dude there. Still takes a couple years. This year he becomes a starter. His first game is start against the Detroit Lions. Gets interception to seal the game. And now he is a team captain. What a great story. Congratulations to Josh Metellus. I'm sure there are a lot of bittersweet Michigan Lions out there about it. But that's huge. Okay, so there's three guys that have announced for the draft. None of them are a surprise. Only one was kind of a guy that people thought, well, maybe. And I probably would have said, don't really count on it. But that one that I'm speaking of is Mike Morris. Mazi Smith and Luke Schoonmaker also announced that they are entering the NFL draft. I think all of that is expected. All of it, I think, is fine. I think all three have the opportunity to be relatively early picks. They're probably, outside of Corum, the best bets for them. So that is big for them. I think it's good for Michigan when you have guys that go to the draft, regardless of, like, hey, come back, absolutely. But it's always good to also show that, hey, we have talent that we're putting in the NFL. So it is a catch-22, right? You want guys back, but you also want guys to be able to go. They obviously are going to need scholarships as well, especially because they put Isaiah Gash on scholarship, which congratulations to him as well, my namesake. But it is a big deal that those three guys are going for them and for the program in that sake. Would it have helped, obviously, next year? Oh, absolutely. But you also feel like some of those guys, like you look at Mazi Smith's position, defensive tackle, there's a litany of guys that could come in, whether it's Rashawn Benny or Kenneth Grant, that seem like they are probably ready to step into that role. Mason Graham as well. I know Mason kind of splits and whatever, but... I think the big crux is, does Chris Jenkins come back? Because he told the Michigan Insider he's coming back, Pete Thamel reported he's on the fence. So we will see there. That would be a huge loss. But if he is a high-end draft pick, then maybe that is what it is, right? And you still have bodies there that can do some things, but you want to be able to have a veteran guy there as well. Luke Schoonmaker, while it would have been awesome to see him for one more year, and certainly he could have come back for one more year. I mean, what more is he really going to do, right? It just really kind of seems like it's his time, especially since Colston Loveland's coming along and they brought in A.J. Barner. And then you still got a million guys that are kind of developing. You know, the Marlon Klein, you got Deke Antonielli coming in. You know, there's lots of guys that certainly could be playmakers there. Then Mike Morris. Yeah, it hurts that Mike Morris is going because he was the best player on the defense, I would say, outside of Mazi Smith. But, again, it sounds like Iabi Oki is back. I mean, certainly things can change from the Instagram Live that he had 2 months ago or however long ago that was. Between him and Jalen Harrell, assuming that they're back, Braden McGregor, who seems to be improving... and then you guys still have Derek Moore and some of these other guys. I just feel like that's, again, a position that's on the up and up. And we'll see if Enoeta stays outside, goes inside, how that ends up working. But that could be another year one type of guy. And guys like TJ Guy seem like maybe he comes up. You know what I mean? So definitely positional losses. But again, huge for the program, huge for those guys. So excited to see what their future holds and where they go from here. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We're going to keep it nice and short, but we'll be back on Tuesday. One of these days, either Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll revisit my journey, since someone asked about it on the podcast, on the mailbag. We'll go back and share how I got here, how I got to this point, to try to come up with some new details I didn't have in the last one. And for those who maybe had heard it before, it'll be a little bit of a review. I don't know that it was on video before. Maybe it was. I feel like we did it a long time ago. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.